In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
2 weeks ago, at the Feast of the Epiphany, I had the pleasure of hearing our rector of St. Michael's and All Angels. And I told him how inspiring his words were. And at that point, he looked at me and he says, "You know, I appreciate you saying that, but I worry when I prepare a sermon that I don't repeat myself and make the people bored." And at that point, I had an epiphany of my own, because I realized that the lectionary that we have been listening to, I will have heard the lectionary 25 times throughout my whole life. And what was really strange and wonderful about that was that the words were as fresh, were as inspiring, were as cogent, were as meaningful to me as the first time I heard it and understood it. And that can only be a miracle that was given to us by God. It's a gift that we continuously hear that same story of birth and death and resurrection and ascension and redemption for us sinners in this world. It's amazing, when I studied the lectionary, we look at, or I should back up a little bit and say, one of my hobbies is doing woodwork. And following the old adage that he who dies with the most toys wins, I have made a pretty big collection of tools. And in that time, I've learned something, and that is that when a tool says we'll do three things, it won't do three things, and none of them will be done well. But today, as we processed in the hymn that we heard, sums up for us really the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. If you read that hymn carefully, it literally goes from birth to resurrection. And that's a fascinating thing, because this guy did make one size fit all. Today, in this cycle, we hear about the wedding at Cana. Jesus and Mary are at this wedding. Weddings were big deals. You see this in Scripture over and over again about the Lord being compared to the bridegroom, that the celebration, we heard it today in Isaiah, and the concept of the Lord being the husband or the bridegroom of Israel, the chosen people. Over and over again, that theme repeats. But what, and again, you hear it in the psalm, the same concept that you're dealing with, again, this bridegroom, marriage, the wife being the city of the people of Israel. So what happens next? Weddings were big things in those days. And weddings and hospitality in the Middle East are two of the biggest things that can be done. And there's a lot, they went on for days. It was kind of a bacchanal, really. They really, you know, they drank and ate and celebrated and danced and what have you. And to run out of wine was a big deal. And so there, Jesus stands. He's come to meet and greet, and Mary's with him, and see, being the little Jewish mother that she is, learns that they're running out of wine, and goes, "Oy vey, what are we going to do?" She turns to Jesus and says, "They're running out of wine." And Jesus, and I would use the modern description of this, looks at her and says, "Mom, what do you want me to do about it?" And Mary, like every mother who, back to Eve, looked at her son, smiled, and ignored him. Never twitched. Turned around to the servants and said, "Do whatever he tells you to do." There's Jesus. You know. So, here we go. Fill up the jars. They fill them up. Take the wine to the steward. Jesus, in his first miracle, gets crosswise of the authority, in that he made the wine too good. It's always something that people in the world find about Jesus that he did wrong. But he still made the wine, and he did it, and it was the best wine that they could have ever had. The way that used to work was they served all the good wine first, and then all the sort of the tailings and what was left, and they got a little toasted. They'd serve them off, and nobody knew the difference. They were just sort of, at that point, drinking for effect. Jesus does it backwards. He gives his best. He gives them the best. He gives the world the best. And all we have to do in our state of mind is stand and accept it. That's all that ever is asked, is when Jesus gives us something to accept it. When I think about that, I think about a friend of mine that used to talk, and we were talking about God one day as the conversation turned around, and she said, "You know, Harris, I've been thinking a lot, and I'm getting older, and I'm thinking about when I have to stand before the throne." I said, "Yeah." She said, "I'm sure that when I go and I'm judged and God looks at me and he says what you did wrong or what you did maliciously or what kinds of sins you committed, and you say, 'Yes, Lord, and I've asked your forgiveness,' he said, 'You're forgiven.'" And she said, as I turned to leave, he goes, "But..." "Mickey, I gave you a banquet when you were 18 and you didn't come. When you were 25, I gave you a marvelous present and you didn't open it. When you were 35, I packaged up a very special gift and you threw it away." And she looked at him and she said, "What am I going to say to that?" How many banquets have we been invited to by God and ignored or denied or turned and left or threw away? The miracle of this wedding also sets forth the second of the sacraments, the first being baptism, which we heard about last week when he went into the Jordan and God said, "This is my beloved son, I'm well pleased." Those gifts of sacraments that he has given to us, especially the sacrament of his death and resurrection, which we're going to participate in and which we're participating in now, are important. But they are those gifts that we continuously are called to open. They are those gifts, those celebrations, those weddings, those feasts that God continuously gives us, those gifts, those wondrous gifts of salvation and redemption. We continuously hear over and over again the stories from the Old Testament, the Psalm, the epistles, and the Gospels. I would hope that as we listen to them and as we hear them, that we continuously open those gifts that God has given us, that we pray that we don't turn our back on those gifts, that we don't turn our back on God, and that we realize what a wonderful life we have been given and what a wonderful life we have in store as we stand before the throne. May God richly bless your life. To come here today has been one of the great gifts that God gives to me. I have learned from you all. I have enjoyed your love and your caring. I have enjoyed participating in your services. I have understood that God is here, and we need to make sure that he stays with us. Amen.